Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Priyapada Kacharya Astota Satasya Simad Bhakti Vidanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samstapa Kacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Priyapada Kacharya Astota Satasya Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Amacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Seka Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Exactly 29 years ago from today, something wonderful took place. And because we are in such an auspicious place, in such an auspicious assembly, on such an auspicious occasion, I thought I would speak to you about it. The event took place in Bombay. Srila Prabhupada whom you all know as our founder Acharya, was in Bombay at the time. And every morning at about 6 o'clock, we would go to Srila Prabhupada's apartment to accompany him on his morning walk on Juhu Beach. When we reached the top of the stairs, we found that the door was locked, which was unusual. So we knocked, and Srila Prabhupada's secretary then, Harikesh Prabhu, answered the door. And he was very excited. And he said that last night, Srila Prabhupada had completed the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered the most important biography of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was almost a contemporary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who was a direct associate of some of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates. So Harikesh Prabhu said that, that Srila Prabhupada was very elated that he had finished the work, and he wrote the most wonderful glorification of his own spiritual master when he completed his translation. And he also said that we should have a feast to celebrate. So I shall read from Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, he actually finished the work on Ekadasi, but because in the Vaishnav calculation, or the Vedic calculation, the new day begins with sunrise, not like 1 minute after midnight or 1 second after midnight. So we only got the news on Dvadasi, the morning after the night of Ekadasi. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya Era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi, we have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. So here in the first sentence, although it's a long sentence, Srila Prabhupada mentions the point that will be the theme of the entire essay, which is the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although, according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His divine grace to be always present with me by His vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by vani and by vapu. Vani means words, and vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the vani, not the physical presence. Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, Bhagavad Gita continues. So the order in his dedication to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada wrote of his spiritual master, "He lives forever by his divine instruction, and the follower lives with him." So, life in real life is spiritual existence. And of course the soul exists eternally, and Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Soul, certainly exists eternally in his original form. The living entities also exist eternally, but in the conditioned state, when they leave the body, they enter into another body, and therefore we cannot know where they have gone, and we may not recognize them even if we encounter them in the new body. But Krishna, he exists eternally in his original form. But even then, Krishna appears and disappears. Just like the sun rises at a certain time and sets at a certain time, although the sun always exists. So similarly, Krishna appears before our vision, displays his pastimes, and then disappears, although he always exists. But when he leaves, he also leaves behind his vani, his words, his instructions, in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, by studying the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and following the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, we can revive our eternal relationship with Him. But for us to approach Krishna directly is almost impossible. For a conditioned soul, it is impossible. And therefore, Krishna sends the spiritual master as his representative. And the spiritual master is the transparent via media to Krishna. Krishna acts to deliver the conditioned souls through the spiritual master. Knowledge from Krishna comes to us through the spiritual master, and service that we render is offered through the spiritual master to Krishna. And therefore the order of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna, is all important in the life of the disciple. as Srila Prabhupada says, the physical presence may be appreciable or not, according to the circumstances. But the vani, the words, continue to exist. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Shida Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house at Olta Danga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Malik, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. Srila Prabhupada commented that he was a leader among his friends, and therefore when they met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they wanted Srila Prabhupada also to meet him, to give him their opinion, or what they hoped would be his approval. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. So here Srila Prabhupada is tracing the history of the order of his spiritual master. And at the very first meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered him to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English. And therefore the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is pursuant to the original instruction to preach the message of Mahaprabhu in English. Because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's, I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Srila Prabhupada argued that even uncivilized countries from the point of view of Vedic civilization, like China, had achieved political independence and India had not. So who would take the message of India seriously? Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur argued that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolute, and conditions like political independence or dependence are relative. And therefore, the absolute message is not dependent on any relative condition. And therefore, we should present the absolute knowledge now. And Srila Prabhupada remarked that he was defeated by his Guru Maharaj. He said that he had never been defeated in his whole life until then. But his Guru Maharaj defeated him, and he was very happy to have been defeated by his Guru Maharaj. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach. But I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. So when we receive an instruction from the spiritual master and are unable to execute it immediately, we should always keep it in our hearts and wait for the opportunity or pray for the opportunity when we can actually execute it. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. Of course, in the Vedic system of Varnashram Dharma, there are four stages of spiritual development and social division. And in terms of spiritual development, first is Brahmacharya Ashram, celibate student. Then comes Grihastha Ashram, or householder. Then comes Vanaprastha Ashram, which is retired life, where the husband and wife may remain together, but they retire from material activities and just engage themselves in Krishna consciousness and God consciousness. And then the fourth order is the renounced order, or sannyas. So Srila Prabhupada here went from Grihastha Ashram to Vanaprastha Ashram. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me, in the same way, to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I had heard it from him. So just 2 weeks before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away, he repeated the same instruction that he gave to Srila Prabhupada at their first meeting. And Srila Prabhupada knew now that there is no doubt as to what his spiritual master wanted of him. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. So Srila Prabhupada attempted to take up the order in 1944 when he began the English magazine Back to Godhead, which continues to be published even now. But one friend suggested to him that people may throw the magazine away, but the books will remain. Sometimes, even in our own experience with Srila Prabhupada, he would see instructions or suggestions that were coming to him from apparently ordinary people as coming from Krishna or coming from his spiritual master. I remember in 1970, an article appeared in the Hindi magazine Kalyan, published by the Gita Press in Gorakhpur. And the magazine highly appreciated Srila Prabhupada's work in the West. But at the end, the article said something like, you know, only time will tell how the movement survives after Srila Prabhupada leaves. So at the time we were very young and confident, and we thought, you know, we're going to be successful. Why are they saying such a thing? But Srila Prabhupada remarked that he thought that the end of the article was like a God-sent warning to us. Even later, in the history of Back to Godhead, one life member in Bombay, named Mr. Bridgerton Mota, suggested to Srila Prabhupada, why don't you serialize Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam in Back to Godhead? Up until then, there was no excerpt from Srimad Bhagavatam in Back to Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada took the advice to heart, and then he ordered the editors of Back to Godhead to include the excerpt from Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada thought that, you know, whatever my Guru Maharaj has said, I will accept, and I don't care what anyone else says. He was actually open to suggestions from all quarters. And he took the suggestions as God sent. And sometimes he took the people who came forward to offer suggestion or service as having been sent by his spiritual master. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages. But somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I had published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, in three volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. So Srila Prabhupada knew how important the publication of books was to his spiritual master. And he wasn't ready to come to the United States until he had some books. So when the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was published in three volumes, he felt, now I can come because I have books in English. By the mercy of his divine grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17th, 1965. Since then, I've translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would simply read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadwaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. So Srila Prabhupada, although he's recounting the history of his efforts to serve the instruction of his spiritual master, is not boasting or taking credit for himself, but to the contrary, he's giving credit to his spiritual master, by whose grace he came to America, by whose grace he completed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and even to his disciples who assisted him in his work. Very humble. I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. So here Srila Prabhupada is making a dramatic statement. We learn from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord is situated within the heart. But here, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that principle and says that not only is the Lord as Paramatma sitting within the heart, but he's sitting with all of his devotees and associates, including the spiritual master. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada said that physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but the words or the vani continue to exist. But from what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the vani exists first, as we heard our spiritual master speak, or as Krishna's words, for example, have been recorded in Bhagavad Gita. But also, Krishna within the heart and the spiritual master within the heart are there, alive, and they can give us new inspiration or new instructions from within the heart, as much as if they were physically present before us. Now, of course, to be able to realize the Lord within the heart and the spiritual master within the heart requires some qualification. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the story of King Puranjan. In any case, the king had passed away, and the king's widow was grieving for him in the forest. The two of them had been living as vanaprastas in the forest. And soon after the king left his body, an old friend in the form of a Brahmin came to meet the widow. Is that necessary? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada explain that when the spiritual master departs, the super soul appears to give direction to the disciple. But they raise the question, why did the super soul not come in his original form as Krishna? Why did he come in the form of the Brahman? And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada give the answer that unless one is highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, one cannot receive direct dictation from Krishna in his original form. But still, Krishna gave instruction through the Brahman, who one could say is Shiksha Guru. But here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that he was receiving inspiration from within the heart directly from his spiritual master. Now, coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that when one has no other desire than to execute the order of the spiritual master, then Krishna, who is also Chaita Guru, appears to give instruction to the disciple. So because Srila Prabhupada had no material desire, his only desire was to serve the spiritual master, and he was fully surrendered to the order of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master from within the heart gave him direct instruction or inspiration. So this is a wonderful fact, that not only is Krishna in the heart, but he's in the heart with all of his devotees and associates. And if we become pure enough by serving the spiritual master, by attempting to serve the instructions of the spiritual master, then Krishna and the spiritual master, who is within our heart, will manifest himself to us. And of course, the process is gradual. It's not that when we're partly contaminated, we have no appreciation of the spiritual master within the heart. We have to wait until we're completely purified. No. As we become purified gradually, the Lord in the heart, or the spiritual master within the heart, gradually reveal themselves to us and inspire us. The spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart. We're in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So here also is part of the qualification. And Srila Prabhupada shows by his own example that one must feel completely helpless and dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master or the superior Vaishnavas. In one class, Srila Prabhupada spoke about the flag on the chariot of Arjuna in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna's flag was marked with the image of Hanuman. So Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna was thinking that and praying to Hanuman that just as you fought for your master, Ramachandra, now I am to fight for my master, Krishna. So kindly help me. Srila Prabhupada explained that the Vaishnava always feels himself to be helpless, and he always prays to his spiritual master and superior authorities to help him. And then he said, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, every line he is praying to Rupa Raghunath, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, kindly help me. He's feeling helpless and dependent on the help of his superior authorities, and therefore every line he is praying, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. So that is the mood of the Vaishnava. And we can infer from Srila Prabhupada's words here that he was in the same mood, that he was feeling himself insignificant and incompetent to do this work. But he was praying to his spiritual master to help him. And therefore he feels that because of his spiritual master's mercy upon him only, he was able to complete this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to his divine grace. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I'm confident that he is very pleased by this work of translation. So again, Srila Prabhupada is feeling the presence of his spiritual master. And he's perceiving that his spiritual master is pleased, and that is his goal. That is our goal, to please the spiritual master. The bhakti is defined as the effort, the authorized effort, to please Krishna. But we please Krishna by pleasing the spiritual master, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada directed all of his efforts to pleasing his spiritual master. And he felt that he is pleased. Even though he's not physically present, even though we can't approach him and hand him the book and see him turn the pages and smile with pleasure and talk to the other disciples about how pleased he is that the book has been published and show the book to people who come to visit him. But still, Srila Prabhupada could perceive that he's pleased. So although in one sense, the spiritual master leaves, or even Krishna leaves, and they leave behind their instructions. And by following their instructions, we can appreciate their presence. But when we do appreciate their presence through such service, it's a very personal, intimate reciprocation. As much as if the person were physically present. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada feels that his spiritual master is pleased. And therefore, his work has been successful by his spiritual master's grace also. Even though he is not physically present, I'm confident that he is very pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada engaged us, and even now he engages us in the same mission, for the same purpose, to fulfill the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And this is the principle of disciplic succession, that the same order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivi Teya Chejato Nagaradi Gram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Krishna consciousness to spread to every town and village of the world. So the same order came through disciplic succession to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who specifically ordered Srila Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language. because English is the international language, and specifically in the Western world, because pretty much people all over the world are being influenced by the West. They want to imitate the West, even in India, unfortunately. They want to imitate the West. So Srila Prabhupada thought, if the Westerners become Krishna conscious, if the Americans become Krishna conscious, then the Indians, who are so anxious to imitate the Americans, will imitate them and become Krishna conscious again. And actually, Srila Prabhupada's strategy worked. When he attempted to preach in India, before he came to America, he was not very successful, because he said the people of India were too absorbed in politics and economic development. But when he came back with his American and European disciples, then the Indians took notice. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired Prativiteya Chejato Nagaradigram in every town and village of every country of the world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta took the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sent Srila Prabhupada specifically to preach in English. And Srila Prabhupada took the order, came to America, and wrote books that would remain even after he left, and which in turn could be translated into languages all over the world. And I had the experience myself when I went to Nigeria. I was the first devotee from ISKCON to go to Nigeria. And when I got there, I found that there were some educated African men who knew about Krishna consciousness. And I thought, how do you know about Krishna consciousness? So it turns out that one of them had gone to England to study and had gotten some of Prabhupada's books in England. Then he brought them back to Africa, to Nigeria, and circulated them among his friends. So they already knew about Krishna consciousness before any devotee had even reached there. So that is the beauty of the message, Vani, that it's not limited by time or space. Our physical presence is limited. We can only be in one place at one time. But the Vani has its own existence, and it can travel without any restrictions of time and space. So we are fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given so much of himself in his books. And we can, like one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, something like, what will happen to your movement after you die? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. And you will utilize and benefit. So we're also part of the whole process. We're also part of the whole process. And if we play our part, however insignificant we are, we will also get the same benefit of being connected to the disciplic succession. And so the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world may enjoy this translation. In other words, it's the same thing, that Prabhupada wanted his spiritual master to be pleased, but he also wants he wants everyone to be pleased. He wants all devotees to be pleased, not just his spiritual master. And I'm glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all of my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Srila Prabhupada directly addresses us and requests us to continue our cooperation. He always said that this is not one man's work, and he appealed to us to help him. Many of you may have seen the video of Srila Prabhupada's lecture in Los Angeles, where he says that his Guru Maharaj wanted him to write books. And Srila Prabhupada says to us the same words, kindly help me. And he asks us to translate and distribute as many books in as many languages as possible. So that is our instruction. We have our specific instructions, but here's a general instruction for all of us. To help continue the publication and distribution of transcendental literature. And I may add, to exemplify what is written in the books. You may be surprised, but once Srila Prabhupada hypothetically asked some disciples why he was successful or why his mission was successful. And he said that it's not just the books. He said there are many other institutions that publish books, but they haven't had the same success. But he said it's because the devotees exemplify the ideal life described in the books. So this is another challenge or another service, to exemplify what's written in the books, so that when people receive the books and read the books, they don't think, well, this all sounds very nice, but is it really practical? We want them to be able to come here and see, oh, this is just what I read in the books. This is practical. I want to become part of this. And then our service to our spiritual master will be complete. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Shamsundar Prabhu says that I began by saying that when we went to the door, it was locked. Can I elaborate on it? Well, I can't really say I know why it was locked. I mean, generally the door was not locked. Maybe there was too much ecstasy going on. I can't say more. As Mahalakshmi says that, not only did Srila Prabhupada receive the instructions of his spiritual master, but he took advice from others, I may add, in pursuance of the order of his spiritual master. For example, when Srila Prabhupada approached Sumati Morarji in Bombay for free passage on her Scindia steamship company, she said, "Swamiji, you are too old to go to America. You will get sick there. You may even die there. You should not go." So he didn't take that his spiritual master was speaking through her. He said, he said, "No, I must go." So the first criterion is that the advice should further the effort to serve the instruction, not contradict it or defeat it. But as far as whether something that is a detail, whether it's favorable or not, again, we have authorities that we can consult. There's Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. So Sadhu means, as you said, other devotees. Shastra is the scripture. I know devotees who have been in doubt or in dilemma. They don't know what to do, what not to do. They open one of the books and they feel they get the answer. The answer is just jumping out at them from the page. And then there's the Lord in the heart, the Guru in the heart. And as we become more sincere and surrendered and are ready to do whatever is best for our service, then, you know, the Lord in the heart will help us. Like Srila Prabhupada said, that one receives the instruction from the spiritual master from without and confirmation from the spiritual master within the heart. And again, we can see anyone who gives us good instruction as a spiritual master or as a representative of our spiritual master, like a Shiksha Guru. So the main thing is to be sincere and intelligent. I'll rephrase the question, because the question included a misquotation. So with your permission, I'll rectify the quotation. What the verse from Bhagavad Gita says is, what Krishna says is that I am equal to all. No one is my particular friend and no one is my particular enemy. But the devotee who knows nothing except me, I know nothing except him. And there are other variations. But the basic idea is that although Krishna is equal to everyone, as one surrenders to him, he reciprocates accordingly. And because the devotees have surrendered to him, so he especially reciprocates with the devotees. Now, the more the devotee is surrendered, you know, the more Krishna reciprocates. The more the devotee gives himself to Krishna, the more Krishna gives himself to the devotee. So now what is your question? How do Krishna and the spiritual master and the devotees react to someone who's struggling to become Krishna conscious? They help him. But everyone struggles. You suggested that only newer devotees or weaker devotees struggle, but everyone struggles. Srila Prabhupada struggled. He struggled to spread Krishna consciousness. And he even said that he likes to see his disciples struggle. So we never give up the struggle. We never graduate from the struggle. We don't retire. We always struggle. But the difference is that as we become more purified, we're able to perceive Krishna's pleasure and the spiritual master's pleasure in the midst of the struggle. Srila Jiva Goswami has given the example in the context of India that the husband will leave the wife and children in the village. And of course there's the joint family system, so it's not like he's abandoning them because the other extended family members are there to support them. But he leaves the wife and children in the village and he goes to the city to make some money. So he may be living on the street. He may be hardly buying some dry chapatis or chickpeas for himself to eat. But he will very carefully save his money and send it home to his wife to spend on his children. Milk, so they can have milk, so they can have decent clothes, so they can go to school and grow and learn. So, externally he's suffering. Means he's accepting great austerity. Living on the street and just eating dry bread and chickpeas. But when he gets the news that his children are eating nicely, drinking milk, growing strong and healthy, going to school, he feels pleasure. So Jiva Goswami says that if such love is possible even in the material world, then what to speak of in the spiritual world? So therefore the devotee may be struggling externally, he's struggling, but internally he's thinking and feeling that Krishna is pleased and that gives him pleasure. And the other example from the Srimad Bhagavatam is similar. That a traveler who's seeking his fortune travels in mountains and valleys and is subjected to scorching heat and freezing cold and torrential rains. and he's suffering, but he knows that at the end of the journey, he'll be able to come back home to the warmth of his wife and children. And when he thinks of the family happiness that he will enjoy when he returns home, he doesn't mind all the tribulations he has to suffer on the way. So in the same way, the devotee, although he is subjected to many tribulations in the effort to serve and preach in the material world, but he knows that at the end, he will be reunited with Krishna and his spiritual master. And that thought enables him to bear all the suffering along the way. So externally, the struggle always continues. But internally, as we feel more our connection with our spiritual master and Krishna internally, we feel their pleasure, and that enables us to tolerate the external difficulties. Is that all right? All right, thank you all very much. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.